there are some influencers, course creators, coaches, whatever, and they're kind of selling this dream of you don't actually have to work that much. You can just start this kind of practice. You could sell this $10 ebook, make hundreds of thousands of dollars, never, you know, work again. And I think they made that seem very possible for people pretty irresponsibly. And even I was, you know, I knew that it was never going to be fully that, but I think I also had this expectation that it's like, if I work hard enough, then I can also get this kind of, you know, online dream. And I think a lot of therapists probably have that too, where it's like, oh, you can just start a group practice and never work again. When now it's actually very difficult to have a group practice.
Hey there, and welcome to The Bad Therapist Show, the podcast for current and aspiring private practice therapists who want to earn more money, work less, and have a way bigger impact. I'm your host, Felicia, the bad therapist. Former goody-goody therapist turned six-figure private practice owner and therapist business coach. I'm here to help you learn everything you need to know about private practice and expanding beyond the one-to-one model so you can earn more money and increase your impact as a therapist without burning out or hustling. Using my proven liberated business method, therapists at all stages of business have been able to grow their income while becoming even better therapists. And I'm on a mission to help you do the same. It's time for you to get your time back and enjoy being a therapist again. You ready? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to The Bad Therapist Show. I'm your host, Felicia, the bad therapist. Recently in Healing Money, a member shared just how different being in business feels this year than it did a couple years ago and wanted to know if others were experiencing the same thing. You might have the same questions. Are things harder for other therapists or just me? Why aren't I getting as many client inquiries? And why doesn't marketing seem to not be working? In today's episode, we're going to talk about the therapy bubble that was 2020 to 2022, how that completely worked the industry, and how to have a profitable therapy practice post-pandemic bubble. Today, I'm joined by my friend and online marketing expert, Christy Plantinga of Therapy SEO and Best Therapists. Thanks for being here, Christy.
Thank you for having me. We are live in the studio today, an in-person podcast recording. My first.
Same. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
This will be an adventure for all parties involved, including my podcast editor, who did not tell me I was allowed to do this. So we'll see what she says. All right. So Christy and I are really excited to talk about this topic. We've talked about it together. I've been wanting to do an episode on this for a while. It's something that my clients are bringing up. It's something that Christy's clients are bringing up.
Time.
Yeah. So we just wanted to begin by setting the stage for the bubble that was the pandemic, because a lot of therapists are seeing differences in their practice from what it looked like a couple of years ago and are asking themselves, like, is it just me? Is this happening to other therapists? And so we just want to set the context for what things were really like at the beginning of the pandemic, starting with what was happening in the market. And one of the things that are just facts that just occurred for sure is that there was an increase in demand for therapists and there was an increase in household income. So of course, this didn't happen for every single household out there, but in general, on average, Americans had more money and there was like this huge need for therapy at the time and kind of very little else to do with your time or money because people weren't going out. So
Yeah, definitely more money. People had the stimulus checks. They just weren't going out as much. Like you're not going out to restaurants or anything like that. So definitely more money. Obviously, mental health was very difficult for, I don't think anyone I know personally was unscathed in some way from the pandemic. So I think a lot of this is commonly, understood amongst us. Like we want to, factualize everything that we can, but experientially a lot of this stuff just, based on people I've spoken to and just remembering how it was, mental health was definitely impacted. I think I saw that antidepressant prescriptions also went up a lot. I think that stat was in reference to teenagers specifically, but I'm sure it also applied to other people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a huge increase in terms of number of people who were seeking therapy. And I was doing some research on this online just to sort of get a sense of what was going on. Are there any records of this? And here are just a few things I found. We'll also link to all of these articles in the show notes. So if you want to go look them up, you totally can. So one statistic, the number of psychologists who reported receiving more referrals this year, and this article came out in 2020, almost doubled from last year. Wow. So from 37% in 2020 to 62% in 2021. Almost 7 in 10 psychologists with a waitlist reported that it's grown longer since the start of the pandemic. And not just that, but mental health spending rose. Spending on mental health services rose by 53%. Wow. This is pretty crazy, from March 2020 to August 2022.
That's in 1 year. That's like within months of that happening. That's insane.
Yeah. So there was a huge increase in spending. So point being that if you were a therapist who, let's say, started your practice at the beginning of the pandemic, you started your practice at a time when there was just a massive increase in the demand for your services.
Yes.
And there was an increase in the money and the time and the urgency on clients' part to spend their money on therapy.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to say about that?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it's one thing to have more demand, but I think the spending thing, that people were really much more willing to part with their money to invest in their mental health, is a significant factor, especially if you're a private pay therapist. Like, having 100%. That more willingness, like 53% is insane in terms of, you just wonder what other industries were affected that way too. But I mean, everyone knew. Everyone felt that mental health was tough. It was like at least in my circles, it was just like an ongoing joke, like, hey, we're all doing bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there was pretty much nothing else to do or spend your money on if you had it. So I think it was, people were desperate, they were suffering. Mm-hmm. And so they were just much more willing to spend money on therapy than maybe any other time in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there have always been people who are willing to spend money on therapy. Like, otherwise, none of us would have a job. Like, there would be no private practice therapist.
Yeah.
But for it really increased the number of people who would do that. All of a sudden, you didn't have to be somebody who like would prioritize your mental health under normal circumstances. You could be someone who is in crisis in that moment.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the only thing available to you to help it get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that brought a lot of people into therapy who maybe historically wouldn't have been a part of it.
Yeah.
I think also a lot of people working from home helped.
Yes.
Because we were, you know, most or a lot of people were working from home. So if you as a therapist only have a certain number of hours to see clients, and there's usually maybe a mismatch between when you want to see clients and when clients are available to see you.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, a lot of those barriers remove. I mean, that would be like an interesting thing to note. Like, you might be having a harder time scheduling people now than you did during the pandemic, just because there are more demands on people's time than there was during.
It's more rigid.
It's more rigid
than it was before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that it just has a huge impact, and we can't like understate how important that is and how big a factor that was in how easy it was to get clients, especially in the first couple of years of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to talk about kind of what happened in the market, in the therapy market, early on in the pandemic. Like, a lot of really interesting things happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting to see. I think for so long, the therapy world just kind of existed in its own little area. But now I think it's intersecting so much more with other things that therapists never had to worry about. And now what do? That you're so close to some of those things. So,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. So now that we've covered the sort of broad strokes of what was going on the demand side of the industry, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the shifts that were happening for therapists on the provider side. So we're going to start by talking about how, you know, therapy has traditionally been, well, not an online business, but at the start of the pandemic, there was this mass wave of therapists transitioning to really becoming online business owners.
Yeah.
And even if you were a therapist providing teletherapy before the pandemic, like myself, like about a third of my caseload was teletherapy even before the pandemic, you know, a lot of us weren't and fully transitioned to being online business owners at the start of the pandemic. And I can say from experience that it is very different having a caseload that is partially teletherapy, mm-hmm. Where so much of my work was kind of grounded in a very specific location, mm-hmm. to becoming fully an online business owner. So that's, Christy, what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, what's kind of interesting is I was also personally experiencing this a bit. I started Therapy SEO in 2019 in the fall. Things really started kicking off like late February, really, is when that was happening. And this was very new to me. I don't really know a lot of entrepreneurs. It's definitely something that's not, you know, a familial thing. So I was just looking for a lot of support and resources online. And a lot of the circles that I was kind of falling into, and I'm sure, you know, many therapists were, and I think this is part of the maybe you feel like you're crazy and, oh, now, you know, no one wants my services, whatever. But I think part of what happened is in the online business world, there are some influencers, course creators, coaches, whatever, and they're kind of selling this dream of, you don't actually have to work that much. You could just start this kind of practice. You could sell this $10 ebook, make hundreds of thousands of dollars, never, you know, work again. And I think they made that seem very possible for people pretty irresponsibly. And even I was, you know, I knew that it was never going to be fully that, but I think I also had this expectation that it's like, if I work hard enough, then I can also get this kind of, you know, online dream. And I think a lot of therapists probably have that too, where it's like, oh, you can just start a group practice and never work again. When now it's actually very difficult to have a group practice. I work with a lot of therapists right now that are definitely experiencing that stress because you start it in the boom, everything's going great. And then all of a sudden things are different. Now they have all these therapists that they have to provide for. So
yeah,
we were sold this kind of unrealistic dream. I do think it's possible for some people, but the amount of work that goes into that, I think it was sold as this very easeful. And I think, you know, Felicia's the first person to say, like, it should be pleasurable to build a business. It shouldn't feel that difficult, but that does not take away the hard work.
Absolutely.
That goes into that.
Yeah. I definitely noticed. Well, first I want to say that there was kind of nowhere else to go but the online space. Yes. At the beginning of the mm-hmm. pandemic. Like, I remember, like, just a few weeks in, how we were all like setting up Zoom calls with our family mm-hmm. members and our yeah. friends, some of whom like we hadn't talked to in a really long time, but like all of a sudden we were like, we all have to like be talking to people. Yeah. So I feel like there was this moment, especially in the early days of the pandemic, where everything, anything that could be shifted online happened online. It was like the only things left that happened in person were like getting groceries. And even then it was like oftentimes yeah. delivered to your house if mm-hmm. you could do that. So anything and everything that could happen online
yep.
got moved to being online. And so all of a sudden, you were inundated with maybe some things that you hadn't been exposed to before. So I think for a lot of people in the online space, and again, we're talking about the online space more broadly because therapists essentially became online business owners at yes. the start of the pandemic. So yep. there are things happening in the online business space that, again, historically, therapists wouldn't have been a part of, but because yes. we also went online, we were impacted by those same forces. And one of the things that really happened is there were some online business owners who were already really successful or were poised to kind of catch the wave of the yes. pandemic.
Absolutely.
You know, they had already had some success. They had already put in a lot of work. But like all online business mm-hmm. owners, they got a sort of extra bump.
Yep.
From the pandemic and yes. all of these eyes on them and all of these people looking for answers, either looking for help or looking for ways to leverage this moment.
Yes.
And so a lot of therapists were impacted by this messaging that really made it seem like business was easy. And like you said, Christy, like I do want business to feel pleasurable. I do want it yeah. to feel easeful. But I also talk about running a business as being a deeply spiritual and like activating yep. process. Like
yep.
if you have any like gunk or shit, running a yep. business is going to bring it to the surface to be looked at. So though I really hate hearing other therapists say, like just really put the emphasis on how hard and how out of reach it can be to have a private practice, a successful private practice. I think we do that too much. Mm-hmm. I think it's also really important to still understand that running a private practice is not necessarily yeah. easy. And so again, if you started a private practice during the pandemic, these early days when there was this huge bump, mm-hmm. and then you got all this messaging around just how easy it was going to mm-hmm. be, like what you're experiencing now could be so confusing.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, yeah. what happened?
Yeah.
So yeah, we were impacted by this kind of dream where you can create a group practice working very little and you'll be rich. All you need to do is write that $10 ebook and add it to
stick it in your menu and everyone's gonna buy it.
Exactly.
That comes to your site.
Exactly. And like that's again, that's usually not the case. You'll see these examples sometimes where that does happen for a person. But again, it's usually what you're usually not seeing is all of the years and all of that work. That
audience building.
Yes.
And that just takes a long time.
Right. That's usually what you're not seeing. And yeah, so you can, it's not as if people are necessarily lying, right? Because of course they do create these things and they can sell very quickly. But often what gets left out of that story is like, and by the way, I spent the last however many years building this audience. Yeah. So that just had a huge impact on kind of what we thought was possible in the industry and ended up minimizing, and warping how much work we thought running a business would actually take.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think especially with more of like the digital product stuff, people had more time to take courses and they also had more money to invest in courses too. So, you know, I think a lot of it, and this is also the kind of like same quote unquote business school I went to. It's like the online business school of how you actually run and market a business. And I've definitely benefited from all of that majorly. I've learned a lot, but also I do see a lot of irresponsibility in the marketing of some of these people saying that this is available to everyone. And it's not. It's like if you're not willing to do some of those things, it's simply not available for you just from a marketing perspective. Like you have to want it so bad. You can't half-ass selling a course. It is a whole type of marketing. It is a whole type of thing you have to invest with your time, your money, or both. So I think it was just a little jarring to be sold this thing, because why wouldn't you believe people? It worked for them. But therapists, you know, they used to be just in the healthcare world essentially, and now they're kind of like in this whole new world. And I do think some, like, you know, therapist influencers and stuff too were doing this, but even them, I think some of them were doing this before, or if they were new,
creating other offers outside of therapy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was a little bit of a thing, but I do think that is a much, much tougher market now. And it was already tough back then. It was already really tough back then.
But it's tougher now than it was at the height of the pandemic.
Absolutely.
So along with sort of the, you can have this really successful private practice without doing much work, there was also this messaging around like, and you can add this $10 ebook or this digital course. And yeah, I can't tell you how many therapists I've encountered that are like, I've made a course and no one's bought it. Or like, I've tried to make a course and it's taken me 3 years. And I think like people oftentimes don't understand the amount of work that goes into every single step of that process. Like, I'm so sick of the term passive income because so often I have people come to me and they're like, maybe this doesn't happen as much now. I think maybe people have gotten wise.
It's cooled down a bit. I will say that, because people would come to me, I'd be like,
yeah.
No,
during like the pandemic, I had a lot of therapists coming to me and saying, you know, I really want to create passive income. And I'm like, okay, cool. You need to understand that it's not going to be passive for a while. Like,
yeah.
So again, there was like this like multiple things colliding where it's like your private practice doesn't need much energy, doesn't need much money. Like it's easy to get clients. You can be ultra wealthy. And then this other thing about like, and you can make all of these other things that are going to be bringing money into your business that like require next to no work. And so even if there were a few people who had a lot of success with that, they were generally the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
And the people who had the most success were likely those who had been working at it for a while.
Yeah, before that even started.
Yeah, exactly. So a third thing that happened in the pandemic landscape, and this was already starting before the pandemic, but there were a lot and are a lot of tech startups that act as middlemen between therapists and clients. And their sort of selling point to therapists is that we can fill your caseload. And their selling point to clients is that therapy, you can get it whenever you want it and it's going to be super cheap. Mm-hmm. And so my take on this is that at the start of the pandemic, when these tech companies were capturing a large part of the market and getting a lot of clients, taking up a lot of marketing space, you could still, as a therapist in your own private practice, potentially get enough clients that it didn't really matter. You know, like there was just such an overwhelming demand that was okay. But now, like years later, I think that the impact that some of these mental health startups have had is that they've really fucked us, you know? and this is my opinion at the beginning, to be clear.
We all knew, but
I've never been a fan. Yeah. I've never been a fan. These people make me so mad.
Yeah.
But I think one of the worst impacts that it's had on therapists is just that it made it seem like therapy is just cheap. It's like a commodity. Yeah. You go to the store, you get your therapy, you buy your loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And it's just like whenever you want it, it doesn't really take much investment from you.
Yeah.
And it's super cheap.
Yep. It's like productizing
this
deeply personal, often long and drawn out. Yeah, it just cheapens therapy and cheapens all of the work. And that's the thing. I was actually just submitting something the other day to a journalist about this, where I just think consumers, they're just so used to that kind of Amazon experience, for lack of a better term, of, you know, the one day delivery. It's like, oh, we'll match you with this awesome therapist in a day. And you can text them whenever you want and all this stuff.
Your therapist never sleeps.
Yeah, your therapist never sleeps. Just like anytime you feel a little anxious, send them a message. It's just like, oh my God, you know? So I think it was already damaging back then. And I think there are more kind of, they've gotten some more negative press because obviously that does not work.
Were there some privacy issues where like client data were being?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like big things because they're not held to the same standards as therapists.
It's so, so frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
So, yeah. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting that we've been talking about, especially prepping to record this episode, mm-hmm. is that running a private practice is not necessarily easy. Like, it takes work. It takes a lot of dedication. It's actually not for everyone. It's 100% the thing for me. Like, running my own business feels better just because I'm willing to, like, stick with it. And I would rather take on the risk than, like, deal with another adult telling me I can't take time off.
Horrible, like, employee. Yeah. I was so bossy. It's like, God, this girl. Like, no, you don't know better. And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah, you're like, watch me.
Yeah, watch me. Bad employee. Bad employees right here.
Actually, I think it was a pretty good employee. I'll say. But I always wanted to, like, improve the place. I was always like, I have ideas. I guess that's kind of similar.
It's the audacity.
It's the audacity.
It's like, I know better. And they're like, oh my God, this girl. Like, enough.
Exactly. So it's certainly not for everybody to be in private practice. And I think these, you know, tech companies made it seem like, oh, you don't even worry about it. We'll make it really easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that actually just did a lot of harm, both to the therapists and to the clients, quite frankly, because I think a lot of people weren't helped.
Yep.
Oftentimes the therapists who were on those platforms were crazy overworked, mm-hmm. stressed out, financially insecure.
Yep.
And like, probably I've had a friend of mine, someone I know personally, who didn't want to spend a lot of money on therapy. And so mm-hmm. they went through one of these companies first, and their like therapist didn't show up for appointment, which, you know, it happens sometimes. Like, I have missed appointments before. Yeah. I get it. It doesn't mean that you're not a good therapist or they're, you know, you obviously can't run a practice. Yeah. Like, sometimes things happen.
Totally.
And I think when people are like stressed out, overworked, financially insecure, like mm-hmm. it's just going to be harder for them to provide really quality therapy.
Yeah.
So now we're seeing the fallout from that years later, where these tech companies, that we're trying to make, you know, supposedly trying to make things better for everybody, but we're just after a profit.
What's frustrating too is they were getting grants. Like, did you hear this?
I did not know that. That makes me so angry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was the state of Arizona gave a grant to a mental health company over therapists. Like, it went straight to them.
They pass on that money to their therapists or to
let
the
me
clients.
Guess or to podcast advertising.
Yeah, it's exactly. Every time I hear one of those ads on NPR, I'm just like,
Come on, guys.
NPR, I feel betrayed.
Yeah. I like email people. It's like if I see a newsletter and they're like sponsored by, and I'm like, hey, just so you know. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, exactly. Could you please not? Okay, so those are the forces that were at play during the early stages of the pandemic, the sort of first year. And then for the last year and a half, things have shifted. We're seeing that people have been spending the money that they had saved up during the pandemic. A lot of those families who had saved up some money due to stimulus checks or just lower spending, that money is gone. People now have a lot more options in terms of how to spend their time, including ways to resource themselves. Yep. Again, at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, if you didn't have an essential, if you weren't an essential worker working outside of your home, you were probably just in your home all the time. You weren't going anywhere. You weren't doing much. Yep. And so you could just go to therapy anytime, you know, and you had the money to spend on it. And so now people, even if they still need the help, have a lot of options in terms of how they resource themselves or just entertain themselves.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily have the same amount of money that they had before to spend on this. And so the pool of people who are necessarily going to spend money on this has actually shrunk.
Yes.
So that's a huge impact. And Christy, you wanted to talk about, you know, the change in how in certain platforms and how therapists have been marketing themselves.
Yeah. And this happened during, you know, this last, maybe year and a half, 2 year period. I would need to check the exact dates when some of these updates to, you know, these platforms came out. But, you know, I've never taught Instagram or anything. It's definitely social media is not my area of expertise, but there were changes to the platform that I think are pretty obvious in the sense that Instagram, for example, used to be more of like the static posts, like that kind of thing. You can pay a virtual assistant $15 an hour to like make some Canva graphics from a template, throw up a caption, and oh, look, I have 1,000 followers. But now, not only I think are the larger accounts being favored on social media, but there's also just a certain type of content that's largely video based. It requires editing. It requires a lot of work, like content creation. If you are really, really doing it, you know, on TikTok, they say you should try to post a couple times a day when you're starting out, a couple times a day. And those should, like, in an ideal world, be edited and like professional and stuff. So, and I think less therapists I know are on TikTok and more on Instagram. But even then, it's like the video content is getting favored and that just takes more time. So if maybe you were successful on Instagram for a while, the reels came out, or even I remember, I'm not on Instagram personally, but my husband would tell me about, oh, I don't even see my friends and family on Instagram anymore because it's, you know, basically trying to mimic TikTok. So I think that was a really big change for therapists who are doing more social media marketing. But very, very relevant to me and my clients and my company is Google changing. Some of those changes I think are beneficial. Some of them are a little troubling. But long story short, the standards are also rising on Google where, you know, maybe something that worked that was a little more half-assed on Google used to work, but now it's, you know, the standards are rising. There's certainly more, you know, competition, which we can get into a little bit. But just the type of content that's being favored, the quality of certain links that you have to build, you basically just can't get away with the kind of half-assed stuff. Like you need to be more personally involved in building up your personal reputation. You know, public relations is a part of that. Spending the time using content strategies that we know are really working right now. So the defaults don't really work as much anymore. It definitely can still be done. And my team and I are always developing ways to do that. But I look back, you know, 3 years ago and the stuff I was doing then, that's just not as effective anymore. So
yeah.
And the only way really around that is, you know, leaning into the quality, understanding some of the updates that Google is coming out with. In some cases, I do think they're favoring some of these, you know, mental health startups and stuff like that, just because they have the authority. Like Google wants to make sure that the things that they're ranking are actually from really reputable sources is part of it. I do think that there is absolutely room for therapists to provide more of a unique take. I've seen to it referred to as kind of like hidden gems. So instead of kind of the generic content that a lot of companies can put out, you as a therapist discussing your unique experience with an issue, that's the kind of content that's going to be drawn out. The user-generated content, Reddit is huge right now. Reddit has gotten a huge boost the last few months in terms of traffic, because people want to also hear from real people. Like, they don't want to read this generic, you know, psychoeducation online. And there's like a time and place for that. I think when you see more of like the WebMDs and the health lines, like those come up, that's kind of more the generic stuff that's going to work. But that type of content is very much favored by, you know, the bigger companies, the bigger names are going to get that. But also machine learning, ChatGPT, Google's definitely shifting, you know, towards more of an AI based approach, more of like a conversational approach with how people search as well. So it's just kind of interesting where it's like the type of content is just going to be different.
Yeah, we're in a real moment of inflection, I think. I think there's kind of like three distinct phases, I'd say, that we've talked about. We're talking about, you know, the very beginning of the pandemic. We're talking about the last year and a half. And then I think we're talking about like what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, for listeners, if you're hearing Christy and you're feeling overwhelmed, I want to provide some hope, because I know that if I heard Christy say what she just said at the start of building my private practice or at the start of building my coaching business, I would have been like, fuck, I can't do this. Like, I don't even understand like a quarter of what you just said. So like, how the hell am I gonna grow my business? So I just want to say, like, you know, Christy is talking about being really strategic, creating really quality material, being super thoughtful about how the content you create matches with the platform you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Just that the caliber in terms has risen. The caliber of what is required to really have an impact on these platforms has risen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a person who literally has never done any of this before, then it's like, what do you do? Right. Yep. And I think a lot of therapists hesitate to experiment in their marketing, to try new things, because they do have some awareness of just, they maybe don't know how much it will take, but they have a sense that it's a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And so they have some trepidation about going forward. And so my approach has always been that something is better than nothing. And when you couple that with this is actually a long game, then those two things can really work together.
Yeah.
I think if you're at a place right now where you're like, that just feels like such a stretch, I'm not even sure what you're totally talking about, then I would say it is okay for you to go online and splash around, if nothing else, for the experience of building up your own ability to create, your own ability to navigate an online space, even if what you're creating isn't getting tons of attention, even if it's not top quality, because you don't even know what that is yet.
Yeah.
You have no data to work with. Even if you don't know what that is yet, I would still say that is better than nothing. So I want to reassure you that if you're starting from scratch, that you can really try things out, and over time you can hone them. I know that there have been moments in my businesses where I feel a little bit late to the party with certain marketing strategies, and I'm like, oh no, the ship has sailed. Can I still take advantage of this? Is there still room for me? And I think the reality is like you never really know oftentimes in an online space when things are going to change, when a wave that you've been waiting for comes in and you can catch it. So I just really want to encourage you that with everything we're saying here, that there is still room for you.
There's a path forward.
There's a path forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a path forward. And just let yourself start. Now, Christy and I are going to keep on talking here. We're going to talk about, like, you know, our recommendations, things we think you should do. Absolutely. So we're not going to leave you hanging there. But if nothing else, just start. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think just start, yes, because all marketing is an experiment in some capacity, but there are also resources for you to tell you what actually works. I just,
exactly,
you know, also be mindful of your time. You know, you don't want to necessarily invest in things that are a huge time suck and then they don't even work. So I will say there are resources for you. There are people like me who could, you know, tell you exactly what to do. We're keeping a very, very close eye on everything. And I do see some hope with how things are going, and specifically for therapists, and we can get more into this in our what the fuck do you do? What the fuck do you do now? But the one thing that therapists will always have an edge on with all of this stuff is the hidden gem type content. And that's because you are a unique person with a unique perspective, with unique clinical experiences, with a unique approach, with a unique niche, like all that kind of stuff. That content is always going to be pulled out, right? Because...
And you're talking specifically about SEO right now.
Yes, but I also think Instagram, like if you say something that really strikes a chord that people haven't heard before, I think we just are in such an age of information overload. We have the food blogs where you're trying to get a chocolate chip cookie recipe and all of a sudden you know about their like great grandfather. It's just like, oh my God, you know? That Google is working a lot to remove that kind of content, which is fair. It sucks. I'm so sorry on behalf of my industry.
It's also interesting because like things were written that way to appease the Google gods.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which 100%. Is so annoying. I think that's
extremely annoying.
Also really important to say in all of this, especially when we're talking about marketing or just business in general. I think a lot of times, a lot of therapists that I encounter, they want to like create something and just be like, and now it just works. And mm-hmm. Christy and I both encounter this in our businesses. Like mm-hmm. the ground underneath you keeps on shifting. And as much as I would love to have like a set it and forget yeah. it moment, I think the reality is that there's always going to be something changing. There's
count on it.
Yeah, count on it. There's going to be something changing in terms of the market and the demand. There's going to be something changing in terms of the platforms we're using mm-hmm. to market. There's going to be something changing all the time, even if it's just a change that seems to be unique to your business. And so that is where having an entrepreneurial mindset mm. comes in. And that's where having a solid mindset practice can be so helpful, because yeah. if you don't understand that this is just the nature of reality mm-hmm. and the nature of running a business, then you are going to be likely to blame yourself, to get lost down a rabbit hole of what's wrong with me. Why is this working for somebody yeah. else's business and not mine? Why does everybody hate me? Why does nobody want to spend money? Like, why did the algorithm just decide I'm trash? Yeah. You know, you're going to think that there's something wrong with you, and that's just going to suck so much energy.
It's going to make it a lot worse for you experientially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you can recall, like if any piece of you in the midst of that chaos or pain or whatever can be like, oh, right, I remember that Felicia said that one time that things are just always changing. So this mm-hmm. isn't necessarily about me, but yeah. there is something that I can do about it. And so I think that's really what we should talk about now. Yeah, it's like, yeah. what can you do about it? Like, yeah. what can you do if like, you know, I think what we talked about today is like a really unique moment because there was just a massive amount of change really, really quickly.
Really, really quickly.
Really quickly in a way yeah. that like you're not typically good. That's not typical. It's not going to happen a lot. Yeah.
But it might.
It might. Right?
Right? 2024, things are going to, I yeah. don't think things are going to get simpler.
yeah, no, I don't think we're moving towards simpler times. Yeah. I think simpler is almost always in yeah. the past, right? But yeah, like, things are always going to be changing. So what can you do now mm-hmm. to position yourself in the best way possible to have a successful private practice and do it in a way that's going to feel really good for you?
Yeah.
What do you think, Christy?
Yeah, we can definitely get into some very, very specific things. But I think generally what I'm seeing a lack of when, you know, potential clients come to me, they're kind of freaking out and they bring that energy to me. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, not my favorite thing. but it's this resilience.
Yeah,
I think resilience is absolutely the, you know, the key, whether that's, you know, having really solid savings that you can always rely on, having those kinds of very concrete things to help support you in those difficult times, but also the resilience of counting on change. Like you can't, and I we've been talking about this a lot, you can't pick and choose parts of owning a private practice.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, I'm a therapist, but I don't want to do marketing and I don't want to spend a lot of money on a website or any money on a website. I don't want to invest in a good EMR, EHR. I don't want, you know, to have all this fancy tech. but I'm an online therapist. Like, I don't feel like I should have to do that. You can't pick and choose. You know, most businesses, they're counting on marketing. And I've noticed that some therapists, they have maybe this hope. I don't know if it's a hope, but they're like, I don't have to market myself.
100%. But it's like,
you're a business owner.
No. Correction, Christy. We are therapists. Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. And that was one, and you've heard me talk about it on the podcast before, if you've been listening for a while, that was 100% my attitude at the start of running my private practice. Yeah. I was totally willing to make a website, but I did it myself. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think it did a pretty good job in terms of messaging. But beyond that, not so much. And I want to say, like, I still do think that it is possible to build a private practice with any marketing strategy, including local networking. That you can do that.
Totally.
You can do that. 100% it's possible. Any marketing strategy can and will work given enough time, attention, and like tweaking of the process. If you're like hearing this and you're like, well, fuck, I've gotta do ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you don't. You don't, but you need to be thoughtful about that and understand that no matter which one you choose, there's actually no silver bullet here. Like, Christy and Christy works in marketing. I spend a lot of time helping other people with marketing and, of course, do my own with help. But I've never stumbled upon some sort of marketing strategy that you just kind of like do it and it works. Every single one.
Because then everyone would do it.
Everyone would do it.
There's no such thing as a magic pill. I say this all the time. There's no such thing as a magic pill because then everyone would take it and it wouldn't be magic anymore. And it's just like, you
can't. It would just be called the pill.
It would.
It's great. Gotta try it. Your life is
so good. It's so good.
But that's because, like, even if a marketing strategy was super great at a period of time, things are constantly changing.
Yep.
Like, that is the nature of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even just business. Like, that is the core feature of reality, is that things are always changing. So even if you found something that was super successful for a period of time, it probably wouldn't stay successful forever. Like, marketing ads in newspapers, probably not as like effective as they once were. That was the shit for a while.
it was popular. A little 5 cents ad, you know, and like some mystery.
Yeah. And you know what?
They're concoction.
They're probably people who it would be so funny. I would love for someone to like write in and be like, actually, I have a very successful private practice based only on newspaper ads.
Yeah.
There's who knows? That's probably possible in some ways. But you know, if someone's doing that, they've probably really worked that strategy and figured it out. You know what I mean?
Since the 1920s. Just kidding. I've seen it work, maybe like a good billboard. Like, billboards are always going to be good. Like, there are some traditional forms of like print marketing that can, not to like totally knock it, but
no, print marketing can be great.
But I just don't see it ever. So.
Yeah, true. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So to Christy's point, you can't pick parts of owning a private practice and just let other ones go. I think it's really important to have basically a respect for the fact that you are running a business. And a lot of therapists very reluctantly see themselves as business owners. I don't think that's true for most people who are listening now. Like, you're listening.
Truly entrepreneurial, trying to do things differently. But I think a lot of therapists, you know, it's like, we all know in grad school, you're not encouraged to do this stuff, but you have to decide to be that person.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this the other day. You have to decide to be that person who takes their business that seriously. Maybe even try not calling it my private practice.
Yeah, Christy.
Call it my business.
Christy and I were talking about this the other day. Like, just what if therapists for a 3-month period struck from their vocabulary my private practice and only referred to their business as my business, and just to see how would that change how you experienced your business by really putting that at the forefront. One of the best things I did for my business is that early on in my private practice, like right after I got my hours, and I may have even started doing this before I got my hours and I officially started my business shortly before, but I took a business planning course from a local nonprofit where there were maybe a dozen or so business owners. They were all different types of business owners. There were people who wanted to open restaurants, people who were already running businesses. There was an inventor, a person who was working in finance.
Yeah.
Like, all of these different people, jewelry makers, artists, so many different types of businesses. And it was really cool to have business classes with other business owners and really understand that, yes, I am a therapist and I'm running a business. The service I am providing is therapy, but that's happening through a business. It's not just like this free floating therapy thing in a vacuum. It's like, that is a specific service that my business offers.
Yes.
That's a completely different way of thinking about the work you're doing that most therapists don't access. I want to say one more thing about that too. I do think that it is possible to have a therapy business that maybe is a little less entrepreneurial and still helps you survive financially. And that's where I really distinguish between being self-employed and being an entrepreneur. I've said this on the podcast before. My mom, she is not entrepreneurial at all. She's self-employed. She's run her own business my entire life. She, you know, generally makes enough to live on. But she's not at all interested in business, right? But she survived. And I think a lot of therapists do that. And I don't think that's necessarily like a bad thing. But that's a different, you're going to have different outcomes probably than somebody who is really curious and interested in and willing to invest their time and attention into understanding how to run a business. That's like more of an entrepreneurial mindset.
Yes.
And I think what we're really talking about today is that perhaps there was a period of time where those folks who had that self-employed mindset were actually doing just fine. And now we're watching, right? We're watching those people who never really thought about themselves as entrepreneurs. We're seeing them get hit, right? We're seeing them essentially bear the brunt of this change in the market because there are still plenty of practices that are not feeling the impact. Right? There's still plenty of practices.
I definitely still talk to people that are like, no, things are fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But yeah, I think, and that's really where, you know, taking, you know, talking about takeaways for this episode, the standards are rising and they have to rise for yourself. And, you know, maybe the self-employed type therapist when everything was gangbusters back in 2020, like, yeah, that was probably fine. But now if you, you know, want, for example, you know, private pay a certain fee, you need to offer your clients a better experience. And it can't be, oh, you know, sorry, my website is broken, or it looks like it was made in 2013. And, you know, all of this stuff, it's like, you can't have that anymore. It's the same way I've been using this analogy lately, where it's like, if I go to shop for jeans at H&M, and I go to shop for jeans at Madewell, H&M feels a certain way. And I'm like, I know I'm getting a pair of jeans that are probably going to last me 6 months. They're not going to be that great, but it's like, I know I'm getting that. But if you want to offer that more premier experience, if you want to be that kind of business, you need to be a different way. You can't act like the self-employed people if you want to have a certain kind of business. And I think that is an expectation I am certainly working against in my work. You know, or people come to me and they're like, my marketing isn't working. It's like, actually, 5,000 people went to your site in the last 3 months. So you tell me what's not working. Are you responding to people when they contact you? Are you sending maybe follow-up texts right away? Are you letting them know what's next? Are you, you know, all sorts of things. Like, I even talked to a psychiatrist the other day. He sends his clients birthday presents. And he's like, because I missed one of my clients' birthdays and I don't think they were sad about it, but they just kind of mentioned it. And he's like, I should send my kids birthday presents. Just like a little thing. Going that extra
therapist in private practice, BTW, you may not be able to do that.
Yeah,
just like FYI. Don't give your clients gifts. But yes, maybe for other practitioners.
For like a psychiatrist or something, fine. But it's like that kind of thing where it's like, you know, even stuff like client portals, making sure you have a really professional environment when you're on video calls, a really nice website, a really good sales experience. Felicia obviously is an absolute pro at just like the communication, emotional side of a sales process, because if they're talking to 10 other practices and you're the only one who has this really nice site, you're following up with them, they feel really understood and heard. It's one less barrier to working with a therapist like you. Because there are barriers, right? It's like if you accepted every insurance company under the sun, you probably would get to be a self-employed
Yeah, you'd be very self-employed. You'd be like so tired. You'd be so tired. You would maybe be broke. You would be like, yeah, there are so many. Yeah, you probably wouldn't have to worry about marketing so much, but you would be bearing the brunt of like those circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bar has basically been raised. We were like in the start of the pandemic, we were in a seller's market, to use like a realty metaphor. Like if you're selling a house and there's like so many people wanting to buy a house, you could have a shit house.
Yeah.
And someone's probably going to buy it.
Yeah.
But things have changed. We're in a buyer's market now for the first time in several years when it comes to people seeking services. And this is happening across the online business space, not just therapists.
Yes.
This is happening in the coaching industry as well. Absolutely. People are just being more thoughtful about how they're spending their money than they were a few years ago. And so again, if your like not so great website had a smaller impact on whether or not you would get a client. So yeah, if you want to stay in the game, if you want to become a wealthy therapist, if you want to, you know, not just get by, but have a thriving business, it's probably going to require more investment from you in multiple ways. Time, money. Yeah, exactly. Time, money, getting support for your business. It's not, I know we're talking about so many different things. I'm really thinking of a past version of myself who would have turned off this episode like quite a while ago. I would have been like, these bitches are crazy. I'm out. Can't do this. La, 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 la. Yeah. I can't handle this. But I want to say that there is help. Like working with a coach like me can help you move through these steps so that it's not like, shit, I've got to do 20 things at once. Because you don't. That's not, I think that's important to say. That's not what we're saying here. We're not saying you have to do this and this and this and this all right now, all at once. In fact, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Literally impossible. We don't do that in our businesses. Yeah.
Please don't.
But you can get help.
It's not so good. Don't do it.
No. Exactly. You can get help.
Yeah. But I think, it's just businesses invest. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You just need to be prepared to do that. But again, if you're this I work with some therapists, we want to do PR, but they have a background in journalism or they have a background in media. If you have skills like that, or maybe you're a really good writer or you have another, maybe just another interest or passion, or you had like a previous career, you can absolutely use those skills. But sometimes it's like, you know, bookkeeping, something like that. I'm not a bookkeeper.
Yeah, no. get someone else to, unless you have like a love for bookkeeping. Like that. Yeah. So I guess that's really important to say. Like Christy was saying earlier, you can't pick parts of owning a private practice. Like as an owner of a business, you need to have, I would say, like a deep respect for every single part of it. Because again, I think therapists in private practice often have a deep respect for the service that we're offering.
Mm-hmm.
We take that so seriously. We put so much heart into that. But when it comes to things like our marketing or our sales process, there's often, not even is there not heart, but there's often like disdain. I'm not totally surprised because a lot of us don't know much about those topics.
Mm-hmm.
We've already learned so much, invested so much into honing this one skill. Oftentimes we're just like, I just am fucking tired.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to learn
a lot of new skills.
I don't want to know.
I'm done with that.
No new skills.
No new skills. No new skills.
But I think it's really, that's been a huge shift for me from having a private practice to having this coaching business. Mm-hmm. Like, I had some degree of respect for these processes in my therapy business, but as I decided to create this coaching business, I really was like, oh, there are things that I haven't been taking as seriously, and I need to make that just as important, just as valuable. And your potential clients can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Your potential clients can tell when you don't give a shit
about
marketing and sales.
Absolutely.
And how the hell are they going to ever get to therapy with you, which is probably fantastic, if you don't give a shit about marketing or sales, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, we're basically saying like, hey, encounter all this shitty stuff, but trust me, the therapy is going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. I just need you, client who doesn't know me, doesn't trust me yet, to kind of like, I don't know, magically have trusted me despite the no effort I've put
into. Take my word for it. Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
I know that my site loaded in about 45 seconds to get to my contact form, but you're gonna love it once
you work past all those barriers to actually getting a client. And you might be hearing this and be like, oh fuck,
my site loads in 45 seconds.
So have respect for that part of the process. Mm-hmm. Like, Christy and her team are so incredibly good when it comes to marketing and staying on top of the changes that are happening, which honestly, mm-hmm. like, I don't have the energy, nor do I have like the expertise or skill to have like that same level of insight that mm-hmm. you guys have. Luckily, I know you, so I get to like pick your brain about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you have to do every single task in your business, you know, like you can have somebody who does your accounting. You can have somebody like Christy and her team who is doing, you know, some of the marketing of your business. By the way, if you hire her, there are still things you need to do. You still need to be like involved.
Yep.
Like, you are still an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You can have people like me who are coaching you and helping you think through all of the myriad decisions mm-hmm. you constantly have to make as a business owner and make the better decisions strategically.
Yeah.
So it's not that you have to do everything all the time, all by yourself.
Yes.
There are 100% jobs that you can shop out.
Yep.
Or things you can do in a more streamlined, less taxing way. There are all sorts of different levels of support you can have. And I think at the very base, you need to have respect for the entire process of mm-hmm. running a business and hold that just as sacredly as you do the therapy itself.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I'm sure, you know, I've been kind of the bad news bear lately. Like, I usually am, but it's been pretty bad lately on just me having to get pretty real with people. But again, there is a path forward.
It's
clear. You do not have to do everything, but the standards, you know, like we've been saying this whole time, the standards are rising. You probably need help.
Our point is the therapy bubble busted, and so now you need help.
You probably need some help, and maybe not forever, right?
Yeah,
like,
maybe not forever.
My goal isn't to have my clients dependent on mm-hmm. me for the rest of their business's lives, you know? But you probably do need some help in the short term, if anything, to adjust to this new landscape. Learn some new skills or just like get some projects out of the way, whatever it is. And if, you know, if you are more budget conscious, if you're really willing to like learn and invest in those skills, great, do it. But there are some things where it's, if you know yourself, it's just like, I'm doing this. I'm willing to take, you know, the hit or whatever, because cutting costs is not the way to make money. Like you cutting out two of the tools that you use, you'd be like, yes, $75 extra. Like
that doesn't actually help you make more money. Making more money is the only way to actually make more money. Think about it. It might be like, wait, what? But think about it a little bit. Like, that is truly the only way to make more money.
Yeah.
Christy, thank you so much for being here. I want you to, you know, tell folks who are listening, like, how they can get in touch with you, like what you offer that can help them with these things.
Yeah. So first and foremost, Therapy SEO, my marketing agency. We help therapists and coaches, wellness professionals like nutritionists, market their businesses mostly on Google. So we do SEO, of course. We're doing Google Ads. We can help you design a website. We're doing public relations too, to get you more exposure online. So all sorts of different things, depending on your goals, content writing. Like, we hope to be your one-stop shop, except not social media, because I don't like it. I will not help you. I do not enjoy it myself, but I can refer you to people for that. And then also our new therapist directory, Best Therapists, we're growing. It's super exciting, but this is one of those ideas that we are making in response to the things that we're seeing. We are making this to be a more of a future-proof way to market your business that is more affordable if you're not, you know, ready to invest in more marketing. So at the time of this recording, it's free. We do have an application process, so please take the time to go through that. But yeah, it's specifically for the private pay practice. It's for, you know, hopefully the entrepreneur, the entrepreneur therapists out there, but also the self-employed ones, because you just sign up. Yeah. And then you're there. So, yeah.
Kind of something for everybody. It's helping therapists cover their bases. So, yeah, love that. Thank you, Christy.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more about working with me, you can go to my website, thebadtherapist.coach. I offer one-on-one private business coaching and mentorship. I have a course on sales that I actually just rewatched recently. Like, I watched my own course recently.
I
was like, damn, this is so good.
Damn, people should buy this.
People should totally buy this. I think it's like less than $100 on my website.
It's an easy yes to just get that perspective. And even if you close one sale.
True.
That's like a 1000%
absolutely. Yeah. So we're here to help you. You are not alone.
You're not alone.
We're not trying to be like total bummers, but I hope that you're walking away from this understanding, especially if you started your business, or you just saw your business grow and rapidly expand, around 2020, 2021, 2022. And now things are just feeling really different. I want you to know that it's not as if you suddenly became like some,
a bad therapist.
Yeah. Like, there are some really big market forces at play here that have radically shifted. And so we really wanted to spend some time just sharing with you, what you can do to combat that, what you can do to continue to be successful in this new climate that we're in. And so, you know, keep on going. We're here for you. Mm-hmm. We believe in you. You can be a successful private practice therapist. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. That's all today for The Bad Therapist Show. Thanks so much for hanging with me. I hope you got some gems that you can start using right away in your own business so that you can break out of good therapist conditioning and build the business that you want. If you've gotten something out of this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with one of your good therapist friends who really needs to hear it. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and/or review so that we can change not just our individual businesses, but transform the mental health system that got us here in the first place. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week for more private practice and coaching tips. Remember, bad therapists make the best therapists.